Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Monday, June the 25th. We will talk this hour with Josh Rushing, a former U.S. Marine captain with 15 years of service who served as a spokesperson at Central Command during Operation Iraqi Freedom. One of his efforts to communicate the American message on the Al Jazeera network back then was recorded for the documentary film Control Room. The Pentagon was not amused with the attention that he received in that documentary and forbid him to talk to the press about the film, and that ultimately led to his decision to leave the Marines. Flash forward to today, Josh Rushing is now working for Al Jazeera International. And he is the author of a new book about his experiences. To convey his thoughts on how the U.S. could change perceptions in the Arab world by engaging with Al Jazeera, and how the U.S. could learn from listening to what the Arab world has to say in return. We will welcome your questions for Josh Rushing, and we will wonder if you agree with him or not and why at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Josh Rushing is a military and current affairs correspondent for Al Jazeera International, and he is the author of Mission Al Jazeera, Build a Bridge, Seek the Truth, and Change the World. He joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks a lot for being with us. I understand we caught you on your way to the office on your cell phone.
That's right. Yep, I was actually standing waiting for the elevator, but that's fine. I'm happy to talk on my cell phone.
We'll get you on your landline in just a few minutes. I was reading your book yesterday at home, and my husband, who's an Air Force veteran and a TV reporter, was wondering what it was all about. And I told him, I gave him your bio, that you're a former Marine, you were a spokesperson for CENTCOM, and now you're a reporter for Al Jazeera International. And he was pretty surprised, and he said, hey, ask him what his Marine buddies think about that. So, what do your Marine buddies think about that?
All the Marines that I was friends with when I was in the Corps, I'm still friends with today. I mean, they all get it. They all know why I'm doing what I'm doing. They all trust me. Those who I didn't know before, I actually get far more respect in the military today than I ever did as a captain. I speak for the Army frequently at West Point National Defense University, their command and general staff schools, to flag-level officers, because I think there's a real sense at the Pentagon these days of what we've been doing doesn't work or hasn't worked, so let's look for some new solutions. And so engaging Al Jazeera is one of those new solutions, and I think they see me as kind of the safest ways to dip their toes into the Al Jazeera waters. So I've actually had kind of a revitalized relationship with the military since I'm working at Al Jazeera. It's a real irony.
Yeah, that is interesting. They don't get to see much of you, though, do they? Because Al Jazeera International isn't really widespread, at least on cable.
It is on the Pentagon now. It's Channel 36. And a number of other military bases are getting it somehow, and I'm not really sure how, but I've been down to Maxwell Air Force Base, Alabama, and it was on all the TVs in the office there. So they're pulling it down off a satellite. So the military may be seeing it more than the American populace, or certainly is seeing it more than the American populace.
Yeah, so you think that's a positive? Are they checking it out to learn, or are they just checking it out to see what the quote-unquote enemy is seeing?
You know, they may be attracted to it initially to see what the enemy is saying, and then I think they stick around for the good news. I encounter when I meet people in the military who watch it, they say, yeah, it's the exact same thing that I said. It's nothing what I thought it was going to be like, you know, that it's actually pretty good international news. And so I think it started as a kind of curiosity thing, and now it's on a lot of desks at the Pentagon, just great international news.
Yeah.
And, you know, the military, more than most people, is actually affected by what happens overseas. So they crave international news because it's personally important to them.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting to note that the Pentagon is watching. But I remember back when it first went on the air, some cable TV operators in this country didn't think there would be a market for this. They had the perception that perhaps it was just going to be a lot of propaganda. And they decided, at least at that time, not to carry it.
You know, it was reported that they didn't carry it because of the controversy. But I actually sat in the meetings with the distributors, and the truth is they didn't carry it because they believe that Americans don't care about international news. I would argue that the first brick in the wall of isolationism fell on 9/11 and that Americans do care more about international news, but the truth is they say we know what the viewers care about because they call us, mm-hmm. and they ask for what they want, and what they ask for is 24 hours of NASCAR, not international news. So most distributors in America essentially said, we're not going to give you a channel for the same reason we're not going to give BBC World or CNN International mm-hmm. a channel. BBC's knocking on all the same doors that Al Jazeera English is, and they just got through finally on Cablevision in New York. That's the only place in America where you get 24/7 of BBC World.
So what sorts of stories are you doing for Al Jazeera International that maybe I wouldn't see on, I don't know, ABC World News Tonight?
Well, we certainly have a bias towards more international reporting. For example, when I was at Virginia Tech covering that story, all the reporters are there, and they don't want each other in their camera shot, so they end up standing kind of shoulder to shoulder with the cameras all pointed at the same ground. And on this one day, Cho had sent the videos to NBC.
Mm-hmm.
Huge, huge story. All the reporters go out top of the hour to do their live hits. We're shoulder to shoulder. Well, right at the top of the hour, they all start talking. 2 or 3 minutes into it, they're taking off their earpieces. 2 or 3 more minutes, they're walking away, and I'm the only guy left standing, and I haven't started telling the story yet.
Because they were not leading with that.
Exactly. We were leading with that very day in Baghdad, 225 were killed with 6 different car bombs. The Nigerian presidential election, I think, were starting. The fighting in Mogadishu had gotten really hot. Number 4 or 5 down the list, what's going on at Virginia Tech? We're going live to Josh Rushing. That's a different perspective than, of course, all the American news and really most of the international news. For us, the big story is the more people who are affected, the bigger the story is. And so, you know, far more people are impacted by 225 dying in car bombs in Baghdad than by Cho sending a video to NBC.
Now, the Virginia Tech shootings don't strike me as being a military story. You do more than military stories.
Well, you know, most of what I do is very correspondent. I do these standalone half-hour specials. I was just embedded in Iraq with the Iraqi infantry. 2 weeks ago, I was in the Amazon in Colombia with a Colombian anti-drug force. So, and I do these kind of half-hour specials. I also am a military analyst for the network, where I give them some kind of insider perspective. But on a big story like Virginia Tech, I had the guy on deck, and I volunteered my services, and they put me out there to do some news reporting.
We're going to give numbers and hopefully get Josh Rushing on a landline so we can hear him a little bit better. Josh Rushing is our guest. He is a correspondent for Al Jazeera International. He used to be a Marine Corps media liaison, and in fact, he was a spokesperson for CENTCOM during Operation Iraqi Freedom. We're going to talk to him a little bit about what got him into some trouble back then and how he ended up at Al Jazeera International. And we'll welcome your thoughts and questions for him on his mission. He wants to build a bridge, seek the truth, and change the world. He thinks that there's much that we can learn about the Arab world, and there is much that can be done to win the war on terror by the U.S. engaging opinion leaders like Al Jazeera. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 20 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Monday, June the 25th. Coming up this afternoon, it's At Issue with Ben Marins between 4 and 6. After 5, Ben will talk with a couple of guests who are getting involved with peacefully protesting the war in Iraq. A lot of people say they don't like the war in Iraq, but what are they doing about it? We'll hear what Ben's guests are doing about it after 5 o'clock this afternoon. We're talking this hour with Josh Rushing. He is the author of the new book, Mission Al Jazeera: Build a Bridge, Seek the Truth, and Change the World. Josh Rushing used to be a Marine. He was a Marine captain. He was a Marine media liaison. He was a spokesperson for the Marines in what was called CENTCOM during the Iraqi, the beginning of the Iraqi War. We're going to talk about what happened there that got him into a little bit of hot water and what led to his leaving the Marines. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We welcome your thoughts and questions for him. And Josh, you were talking with a correspondent for Al Jazeera back in, 2002 or so?
2003.
And this was captured for the documentary Control Room. What were you talking about?
I was asked to sit down and just have a conversation with a producer that some grad students at the American University in Cairo were doing a, they were following them around doing a documentary for their grad project on Al Jazeera. So we sat down, and the conversation essentially was a whole lot of how they saw what the U.S. was doing. By they, I mean the Arab world, and me trying to understand that and see how they could see it that way. But with me trying not to give up the government position for which I was employed to hold. So trying to find a place where we, the U.S. position, could possibly be right without them, the Arab position, having to be wrong and vice versa, which is a difficult conversation to have.
Yeah. So, what was it that you said that raised eyebrows among your superiors?
You know, it was nothing in the movie that I said, because when the Pentagon, the movie came out, I didn't know a movie had been made, much less released. I just thought I'd participated in a student film thing a year before. I hadn't thought anything about it until someone at Sundance Film Festival called me and said that they just wanted to say thank you for my movie, and I had no idea what they were talking about. So I was surprised by a movie, as was the Pentagon, and the Pentagon, without having seen the movie, decided to tell the media that I wasn't going to talk about it, no comment, because they were getting a lot of media requests to talk to me about the film. That no comment created a greater controversy than my actual role in the film. Mm-hmm. But one of the reasons they said no comment was they were uncomfortable with an interview I'd already given to the Village Voice in New York, where essentially I said, in America, you don't see the blood and guts of war. I was really surprised when I came back from the war to see what the war looked like through the American lens, and it was very clean and sanitized. And, you know, in watching that, I realized why it was so easy to go to war, because, it's not that bad of a thing. But when you watch Al Jazeera, you see all the blood and guts of it, and it really turns your stomach, and it makes you remember that war is hell. And I said that as a Marine captain. The Pentagon was uncomfortable with those comments. I thought Marines were supposed to be reluctant warriors, that, you know, I'll go to war for you, but that doesn't mean that I like war in any way. This should be a, you know, last horrible, horrible result.
Didn't you also, though, in one of your interviews anyway, if not in this documentary, make mention that it troubled you to realize that you were more concerned when you'd hear about military deaths or U.S. Troops dying in Iraq than you were of the Iraqi civilians dying? And then you really realize, boy, why do I feel that way? And you're examining those feelings you had.
You're right. That's kind of the seminal moment of the film that I think most viewers take away about me, is I was kind of in a moment of self-reflection. I had recently seen the Jessica Lynch ambush, her squad was ambushed, and there was footage of the captured soldiers, and even more difficult to view were the dead soldiers. They were kind of bleeding out on a cold tile floor. There were Iraqis who were smoking and laughing and kind of pulling their bodies around for the camera. And it just turned my stomach. And everyone that I worked with as well, we couldn't believe what we were seeing. And what I realized that night was that I had seen something similar to that two nights before in Basra. There was a bombing, and it was really gory, and Al Jazeera had gone into the emergency room with the Iraqis who were torn limb from limb, and a lot of blood and crying, and it hadn't bothered me. Hadn't bothered me nearly as much as seeing the U.S. troops. And so I was struck by that, why am I not as bothered by seeing the people we're liberating suffering as I am by seeing soldiers suffering? And what I didn't realize was I was in a process of, we're all most empathetic for those who are most like us. This is universal. It's cross cultures. And what was happening in this process that I was in was realizing how much more I had in similarity with Arabs and Arab culture than I did in difference. And in doing that, it was making me more open to their pain and suffering. Although I couldn't have told you that at the time. Only looking back on it do I realize that that's what was happening.
Yeah. And you, the controversy over this documentary and the Pentagon and the no comment, this all led you to eventually leave the Marines?
It did. Through my time at Al Jazeera, I was the only person in the world to be inside the Pentagon, the administration, because my office at Central Command was controlled by a Republican operative, and then inside Al Jazeera at the same time. And that gave me a unique vantage point. What I realized was what America thought it knew about Al Jazeera was just flat wrong. I mean, black and white, flat wrong. And the way that it dealt with it or didn't deal with it was dangerous for America's own strategic interest. But when I came back from the war, I was just a junior officer, and who would, you know, listen to me? But a year later, when the movie comes out about me, the Pentagon says no comment, my story went from the calendar section, the entertainment section about my involvement in the film, to the front page, L.A. Times, Marine lands and film and collides with Superior, and then on the editorial pages of L.A. Times, New York Times. So what had happened was life and the Pentagon, through a dumb mistake, had given me a platform to go out with this message that I was really the only person in the world that had, and that was what Al Jazeera really is from the inside. And I could go on the most conservative shows. I could go on Bill O'Reilly's show and say, wait a second, I'm not a lefty from Berkeley. You know, Mom and Dad's a firefighter. Mom's on city council. I'm from Lone Star, Texas. I've been a Marine my entire adult life, and I've just given it all up to say, for our own strategic interest, we need to reconsider Al Jazeera. So I did that. I resigned out of the Marine Corps. I was living on a second mortgage on my house in L.A., supporting my family, but no health care or anything like that, just so I could go out and put this message out and try to agitate a debate on Al Jazeera, because it's that important.
Yeah. You thought that it was a mistake that the military at the time was assigning, I think you even called yourself, you know, a rookie to be the spokesperson on Al Jazeera, when you think it should be taken much more seriously than that.
Oh, I was beyond a rookie. I'd read Iraq for Dummies on the plane ride over. I didn't speak Arabic. I had no formal training in the region, and I'm going to be our point person on really, it's much more than just a news channel. It's the engine that drives the debate in the Middle East. It's a phenomenon. It's a political movement. I'm the guy you're going to put on there? It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, they should have asked long before they planned where the bombs were going to fall in shock and awe, who's got Al Jazeera? Because in the broader war on terror, this could be far, far more important than the real estate war in Iraq.
Well, I asked at the beginning of the hour, and I think it is a perception that many people still hold, that Al Jazeera is what many might say the pro-terrorist network, the one that is Osama bin Laden's mouthpiece, the network that shows tapes of beheadings. You say it's not that.
It's absolutely not that. Here's a fact. It's never, ever shown a beheading. It never will show a beheading. It's in its code of ethics. I think how that got started was the very first videotape beheading was Daniel Pearl.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the videotape beheading is kind of a recent phenomenon. It went to, the tape went to Al Jazeera. They showed the first part of the tape, but not the latter gory part of the tape. And American news reported that as Al Jazeera shows Pearl beheading tape. And I'm sure down in the story somewhere, it explained it only showed the first minute or something. But if you just read the headline, you might come away with the notion that they actually showed the beheading. But the truth is, the Western media shows the first part of the tapes as well. Nicholas Berg is a perfect example. So they showed the same thing Western media did. It was reported in such a way that I think it led people to believe that they show beheadings. And then Rumsfeld went out and said it in the press. I don't know how many times that they show beheadings over and over again. Not only is that not true, that's dangerous when he says that, because everyone in the Middle East is watching Al Jazeera. They know they've never seen a beheading on it, and now they see Rumsfeld, who surely knows better, saying that they show beheadings over and over again. So they're not going to give Rumsfeld the benefit of the doubt. They're going to say he's lying. And if he's lying about that, what else is he lying about? And if he's lying, the whole government's lying. So it kills our credibility over a real simple fact like that. Those who say it's a mouthpiece of bin Laden, they should listen to what bin Laden says. Al-Qaeda has called it pro-Western Al Jazeera, pro-Zionist. They've actually called for attacks against the government of Qatar and against Al Jazeera for being pro-Western and pro-Zionist. I mean, Al Jazeera is sponsored by the government of Qatar the exact same way the BBC is sponsored by the government of England. And Qatar also happens to have Central Command headquarters there. The largest airbase in the Middle East, U.S. airbase in the Middle East, is in Qatar. So if you think it's a mouthpiece of bin Laden and you look at who's supporting it, you got to scratch your head and say, wait a second, how can Qatar support Central Command in the U.S. this way and support Al-Qaeda? That doesn't work out.
Doesn't Al Jazeera, though, call suicide bombers martyrs?
Al Jazeera Arabic uses the word martyrs for a suicide bomber within the Palestinian-occupied territories. And as I understand it, and this is very difficult for me as a Westerner to understand, and I should make clear, Al Jazeera English does not use the word martyr, ever. Mm-hmm. But as I understand it, everyone in the Arabic-speaking world would call that person a martyr. within their cultural context, that's just what you would call them. And if you didn't call them that, it would be notable by exception. Whereas if Al Jazeera English ever called someone who did that a martyr, it would be notable because Al Jazeera English did it. It's a real different cultural context.
Yeah. Well, we have many callers who want to talk with you, so I'll go to the phone. Zach in Green Bay is with us first. Hi, Zach. You're on the air.
Good morning. I want to applaud your guest, and I also want to point out that according to British law, they have sets of criterion which allow certain broadcasters to broadcast in Great Britain and others not to. And according to these criterion, Al Jazeera is allowed to broadcast in Great Britain, but the beloved Fox News Channel is not allowed to do so. So I just think it is interesting that our best partner in the war on terror believes that Al Jazeera is a more legitimate news source than the beloved Fox News Network.
That's true. And, you know, I should have brought this up earlier, but Al Jazeera Arabic actually broadcasts in the U.S. and has for years and years on the DISH satellite system.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone who thinks there's the controversy that's keeping Al Jazeera English out of America, I think that would undermine their argument. It's really a business deal.
Talk a little bit about this. I found this interesting in your book. When you would deal with correspondence, especially from Fox News as the media person with CENTCOM, and how they differed from the Al Jazeera correspondence.
Sure. My office was run by someone straight out of the Republican Party. He would give us the White House speaking points of the day or messages. And then we would go out to the cameras, and you would go to Fox News, and Fox would say, are there any messages you want to get across today, before we would do a live interview? And so, sure, you would say, the boss just told me, weapons of mass destruction, ties to terrorism, regime change. And so they go, okay, here are the questions we'll ask then. They'll stage the interview. You go on live. You throw out all the reasons that we're going to invade another nation. And it's a young lieutenant doing this. Of course, they don't ask a critical question of these reasons because they can't question the troops. You have to support the troops, even if you don't support the war. But here it is, a young troop given the reasons to go to war. And then at the end of it, they thank me for my service, pat me on the back, and send it back to John in New York. And even, I pick on Fox, but MSNBC, they packaged their coverage with, our hearts are with you. So imagine me in uniform, on the screen, giving the reasons we're going to invade another country. Underneath my face is a banner that says, our hearts are with you. Is the MSNBC reporter going to ask me a critical question? No, of course not. And of course, the Bush administration knew this. They understood this, and they used it to their advantage in selling the war.
In the Al Jazeera correspondents were asking you tough adversarial questions.
All the time, critical questions, which, it's not odd that the U.S. government dislikes Al Jazeera. all governments dislike Al Jazeera, except for probably Qatar, and not just governments. Anyone who has authority dislikes Al Jazeera, to include Al-Qaeda. Al Jazeera sees its mission as speak truth to power, to always question power, and to give a voice to the underdog. Well, no one in power appreciates that. So Al Jazeera's style is, if they're going to interview a government spokesperson about why, you know, we're going to invade another nation, they're going to ask tough questions. And looking back on that and wondering, how did America, which is a country that I love, unabashedly love America, how did it act in such an irresponsible way? How did it go to war on information that ended up just being false? And I look at the media and I think about all the questions they didn't ask me when I was saying why we should go to war. And I realize how important a critical, skeptical media is for a democracy to act responsibly in the world. And that's what Al Jazeera was there. They were skeptical of everything. That's exactly what a media should be.
Yeah. Next we go to Mike in Madison. Hi, Mike.
Good morning. I want to first thank your guest for his service to his country, but however, I will tell you, I think his logic, he has no principles, is what I'm going to basically say. Al Jazeera, Arabic and English are two different things. He knows that. Al Jazeera Arabic is closely connected with terrorist organizations. They always get these tapes first. Their producers have direct, I mean, we know at one time that their producers at Al Jazeera had special cell phone numbers that they could call to interview terrorist leaders with Al-Qaeda and with some others. You know, again, this young man clearly, while he says he loves this country, is doing everything he can to destroy its efforts to fight this war. Well, and that's what I think is despicable.
Hold on. Why is this hurting the efforts to fight the war?
Well, he's siding with Al Jazeera, who is clearly anti-American, was anti-American before this war, as a station, as a network. He'll criticize Fox. He'll say Fox is too conservative, too close to the Republicans. And then he turns around and says, but Al Jazeera is great. It fights for the underdogs. It fights for terrorist organizations. It leads on those issues. I mean, that's a joke to say that on the one side, our media can't be pro-American, can't be pro-troops, can't be, we got to win this war. But Al Jazeera, who then also encourages the types of attacks against our troops that occur, he doesn't have a problem with that.
Mike, hold on. I want to give you a follow-up, but want Josh Rushing to address your concerns. Josh?
Sure. Where do you begin? The tapes. That's a great point that Mike brings up about the tapes. The tapes used to come from Al-Qaeda to Al Jazeera. They don't anymore. Now they distribute them themselves online. That way they don't have someone editing their stuff or not airing their stuff. But the reason the tapes went there, the same reason that the Unabomber sent his manifesto to the New York Times and they ran it, the same reason that Cho sent his videotapes to NBC and they ran it. And what happened with the Unabomber's manifesto in the New York Times? It's actually how he was caught. After all those years, Ted Kaczynski's brother recognized his writing in the New York Times and turned him in. So I think there's a logical argument for airing that stuff. What Al Jazeera did with the tapes, they wouldn't air all of them. They would only air some of them and the ones that they deemed as newsworthy, and they would just air a portion of it. But the U.S. media aired them as well. They would just lead their story by saying, Al Jazeera aired another tape today. And so then they would show the exact same tape that Al Jazeera showed. So you saw the same thing in the West that they saw over there. But to say that Al Jazeera is pro-terrorist group is absolutely wrong. Again, I would say, look at what Al-Qaeda says. When Al-Qaeda calls Al Jazeera pro-Westerner, pro-Zionist, it's the tough part about being in Al Jazeera. You got the people on Al-Qaeda's side saying that they want to bomb them for being pro-Western and pro-Zionist. You got the people on the Western side saying that they want to bomb them for being pro-Al-Qaeda. So it's kind of their own perverse sense of fair and balanced. As long as they're pissing off both sides, they must be doing something right.
Yeah. Mike, do you have a follow-up?
Well, yes, and I think, again, your guest is trying to sugarcoat as much as he blames Fox. Let's remember, the Qatari government cracked down on Al Jazeera because of complaints by Britain, the United States, and several other countries. So another reason why Al-Qaeda stopped sending the material there was because the Al Jazeera network had to make changes in how they covered that. It was clear that they were connected to this terrorist organization. Now, your guest wants to sanitize that, but we know, and it's been well documented, that the Qatari government cracked down on Al Jazeera and its connections to these terrorist organizations. Now, that doesn't mean they still aren't connected. It just means they no longer utilize that same route of getting that propaganda out. And if he wants to say Fox and MSNBC were doing propaganda, and that's what he just alleged a little while ago, anybody who watches Al Jazeera cannot honestly say that it is not propaganda from the other side. That is a joke.
Yeah. Mike, have you watched much Al Jazeera?
I actually have seen about 14, 15 hours of taped editions of it, yes.
Translated or in Arabic?
This would have been from Al Jazeera English. That's correct. The Al Jazeera's English.
So if you've seen Al Jazeera English, did that seem like propaganda for a terrorist group to you?
Yes, in fact, I did. I think the coverage was slanted. And again, if you want to pick on the certain types of words that people use, you can make those arguments about Fox being too, you know, and you use words, Republican operatives at the Pentagon. Well, you know what? It's the Republican administration. They're in charge. Yes, there are going to be Republican operatives. You didn't state that, though. Just like when there was a Democratic president, you have Democratic operatives running the Pentagon. So again, your
not
choice
the Pentagon,
of word,
Mike.
Your
we're talking,
choice of
yeah, that
your,
was, it wasn't the Pentagon.
We're not talking the Pentagon. You're right. They get to pick the appointed positions of the Pentagon. We're talking a lower press office. I served under Clinton longer than I did under Bush, and I never saw Democratic operatives put on a uniform without a rank on it, be given a two-star equivalent rank, a two-star general equivalence rank, and be in charge of lower information officers, like where I was at Central Command. That was new in my 14 years of active duty. I'm not sure, you know, what you witnessed. But I have to say, Al Jazeera English, a lot of it is on YouTube. They actually have a channel on YouTube. If you go to joshrushing.com, all the specials I've done are there. The proof is in the pudding. If people watch that and they really think that's terrorist, I'm absolutely shocked, because I watch Al Jazeera English every day, and I don't think it supports terrorist groups. But the proof's in the pudding. It's all there. It's there for people to see. It's in English, and you can judge for yourselves.
We're talking with Josh Rushing. He is author of Mission Al Jazeera, Build a Bridge, Seek the Truth, Change the World. Josh Rushing is a former member of the U.S. Marines, a former Marine captain. He was a Marine media liaison and was spokesperson for CENTCOM during Operation Iraqi Freedom. His appearance in the documentary Control Room in 2003 led to a controversy that ultimately led to him leaving the Marines. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. He is currently a military affairs and current events correspondent for Al Jazeera International. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up, Kathleen Dunn is with you after 9 o'clock. Kathleen and her guest will get political after 9 o'clock, recapping all the major news from Washington and beyond in all things political coming up after 9 o'clock. We're talking with Josh Rushing. He is the author of the new book, Mission Al Jazeera. Josh Rushing is a correspondent for Al Jazeera International, former U.S. Marine. And we welcome your calls for him at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Josh, clarify for us your mission. What is it that you hope to accomplish by telling your story and apparently encouraging the U.S. to engage Al Jazeera more than it has been?
Well, at a government level, at a federal level, I would certainly encourage the U.S. to engage Al Jazeera more than it has. But I have to say, they're doing that. The military is on Al Jazeera with far greater frequency now than they were back in 2004. Almost every week, you'll see a major general on Al Jazeera giving generally long-form interviews, which I think is a good thing. Because in the marketplace of ideas, if you're not there to represent your idea, then who will? And you have to be there. So that's why I think they should engage it. But also for the American people to realize, unless they've watched Al Jazeera, they may not really understand what it is. So I'd like them to know what it isn't, what it is, and why it's so important. And I think, thirdly, the book, Mission Al Jazeera, it's an interesting story. I mean, when I sit down at a dinner party and I tell people kind of my arc of going from Lone Star, Texas, to the Marines, to now Al Jazeera, and why I'm doing it, it just makes for a good story. And so that was another driving reason behind the book.
Yeah. And don't forget about JAG in between.
Yeah, I used to represent the Marines in Hollywood, as a matter of fact, and yeah, it was kind of working on JAG for a couple years, which is, you know, for better or worse.
Yeah, as a Marine, you were sort of a consultant to make sure that this was accurate or something like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I kind of worked like a producer on behalf of the Pentagon. So we're looking for something educational, something informational and or informative for the audience, and then we're making sure that whatever supplies or gears or people we provide, that the government's reimbursed so it doesn't cost the taxpayers anything.
Yeah. Arlene in Milwaukee. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I just think it's awful that the United States government censors our ability to watch Al Jazeera and I'd like 24 hours BBC. But my real question was, you can actually get this on Dish Satellite?
You can get Al Jazeera Arabic on the Dish Satellite. And to be fair, it's not the government censoring Al Jazeera. I mean, you know, the Pentagon has it on here in Washington, as does the State Department, as do a lot of military bases. It's a financial deal. It's your distributors. Your local cable provider believes you don't care about international news because no one calls your local cable provider and says, give me an international news channel. If they did, the providers would provide an international news channel. There's three major ones out there, BBC World, CNN International, and Al Jazeera English. And in Wisconsin there, you're not getting any one of those three on your satellite or cable providers. You may get an hour of BBC on PBS here and there, maybe an hour on BBC America, but you don't have a 24/7 international news channel there. And that's a business deal, and it's going to remain a business deal until the consumer tells the distributors, hey, this is what we want.
Yeah. An email from Bonnie in Madison. She says, I heard one of the reasons we can't get Al Jazeera on cable is that the right-wing media watchdog group Accuracy and Media did a letter-writing campaign to the major cable companies, and they freely admit it. My brother gets Al Jazeera in Toledo, and he describes pretty much the way your guest explains it. And I believe that the members of the Bush administration have appeared on Al Jazeera. Well, you just said that. Is that true, that Bush administration officials have appeared on Al Jazeera?
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah. Sure. As a matter of fact, just on the military side, the chief naval officer, the CNO of the Navy, is Admiral Mullins. He's about to take over. I believe at least he's been recommended to take over for Pace as the joint chairman or the JCS. He's appeared live on Al Jazeera for a long sit-down interview with our anchor. So, and definitely people from the Republican Party and the right-wing think tanks come by here and appear all the time. We are actually on the Buckeyes cable system in Toledo, Ohio. We're also in Burlington, Vermont, but that's it in terms of cable distribution in America.
Burlington, Vermont.
Yes.
What about? Have you heard about this Accuracy in Media doing the letter writing campaign?
You know, they get a lot of press because they're connected with Fox News. But believe me, that letter writing campaign, I don't think made much of a difference. As someone who sat in on the distribution meetings, they also organized a 24-hour day, 7-day a week, nonstop protest outside our doors, our offices, to make sure we didn't go on air. And that started in April of last year and was going to run through the launch, which was in November. About a half a dozen people showed up with handmade signs and lasted about 2 hours. The Washington Post noted it in a little side story, how few people were there and how shortly they stayed. They said they needed to go back and maybe reorganize themselves, and then they never came back. So for all that AIM does and all that they put out into the media, the truth is they really don't have a whole lot of influence.
Jack in Oak Creek, hi, you're on the air.
Hello, say, can you guess, please comment, I've heard recently that on our national news, whatever that all means, is that we're now fighting the Al-Qaeda in Iraq. And I'm wondering if this spin lying and we're not worried about the Sunnis and the Shiite civil war. Is there anything coming up on that? Because that's all I hear now is we're fighting Al-Qaeda in Iraq. Where did that come from?
Well, that plays to the administration's message that Iraq is about the global war on terror. Because if there's no Al-Qaeda, if there are no terrorists in Iraq, then what does it have to do with the global war on terror? So they've always promoted the idea that there's Al-Qaeda in Iraq. I know someone that made a documentary film about the resistance early on, say, 2003 to 2004, two filmmakers spent about 8 months inside the resistance making this documentary called Meeting the Resistance. I think they have a website called meetingtheresistance.com. And in that 8 to 10 months that they spent there, they never met anyone that was associated with Al-Qaeda. There probably is Al-Qaeda there now. I mean, one, it doesn't take a whole lot to hang an Al-Qaeda placard on the door. I mean, it's not like they have tough membership standards. Anyone can say they're Al-Qaeda. But two, Al-Qaeda probably is there exploiting a weakness because of this war has proved so difficult for the U.S. that Al-Qaeda probably is a growing force there for them to be concerned with. But certainly in the messaging and what you're talking about in the news and the news stories, it benefits anyone who wants to connect the war in Iraq to the global war on terror to push that it's Al-Qaeda in Iraq that's fighting, when the fact is, I think Gates actually says this, there's probably five or six different wars going on in Iraq right now with five or six different groups who have different interests.
Yeah. Thank you, Jack, for the call. Kevin in Franklin is with us now. Hi, Kevin.
Good morning. Thank you, Josh, for your service both in and out of uniform. And I'm going back to the caller, Mike, and wondering if that kind of attitude, I guess it's portrayed by the fact, I think the most recent survey I saw still shows that 40% of the American people believe that Saddam Hussein was intimately involved in the attacks on 9/11. If that attitude is just a hurdle that we can, it's almost impossible to jump over.
Yeah, well, I think people are always going to have that. The question is how many people. You know, at the Pentagon 2 years ago, no one would have touched the subject of Al Jazeera. As a matter of fact, they saw it as the problem, you know, if part of the problem, if not the problem in toto. And they were going to be as obstructionist as possible against it, to the point that Bush was even laughing about bombing the headquarters of it in the capital of an allied nation. Now, I think there's a thought process at the Pentagon where people are saying, look, we've got to throw out all the old assumptions because look where they've gotten us. We've got to be open to new ideas and new solutions. And Al Jazeera, whether you like it or not, may be a part of the solution. So let's engage it and let's be there. So I think at least within the realm of the people who are tasked with finding a solution to what's happening in the world right now, they're much more open to not only Al Jazeera, but to considering these kind of out-of-the-box solutions and much less inclined to buy into that kind of old ideology that got us to where we are today. I find them to be the growing numbers and the old school thinkers to be a reducing minority.
Yeah. Talking with Josh Rushing, he is author of Mission Al Jazeera, Build a Bridge, Seek the Truth, Change the World, talking with us about his story. He was a U.S. Marine, a Marine captain who was spokesperson for CENTCOM during Operation Iraqi Freedom. He now has come full circle and is on the other side of the mic. He is a reporter for Al Jazeera International. And we welcome your thoughts and questions for him. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. He believes that many Americans have some misconceptions about Al Jazeera and the Arab world in general, and he hopes to bridge that gap. Our next caller is Steve in New Auburn. Hi, Steve. You're on the air.
Good morning. Interesting conversation, obviously, but it's really troubling to me that the idea that the only good American is one that agrees with the current administration. I thought that was exactly opposite what our country was built on, and it seems to me every time we get ourselves in trouble, it's because we don't listen to dissenting views. I wonder if you could talk a bit about that, is just the importance of dissent and how American it really is.
Yeah, I mean, America was built on the principle of dissent. I mean, that's what the revolution was founded on. And I think the founding fathers wanted to protect the idea of dissent, that the power should be in the people. But if you apply that to the model where I work and what my expertise is, and that's the media, it becomes less about dissent and more about skepticism. You know, when it becomes the only good reporter and the only good network is the one that buys into exactly what the government's giving them, that's when there's a real danger. The reporters and networks must remain, they must have a core skeptical sense, a professional sense of skepticism, where they don't accept anything at face value, where they want the facts, they want the evidence. WMD, for example, they should have asked a lot tougher questions there. Dan Rather said that there are questions to be asked, but now is not the time. And he said that in 2003, right before a war. If there's ever a time to ask the questions, it's before you go to war, not years later, as our media has done.
Yeah. Josh, I'm going to ask, usually I don't ask about the cover of someone's book, But and I'm going to show my ignorance, too, of the Arab world. I don't recall the name of this scarf that you have around your neck. But
the kafia.
It's called kafaya. Why did you depict yourself that way for the photo of the book?
Yeah, pictures are great for radio, huh? Mm-hmm. The picture is me with a red and white scarf that you see in the Middle East often. It's now associated with terrorists in the Middle East, and they hide their face in it. I have the scarf around my neck. The picture was intended to agitate a debate. It should make you uncomfortable and wonder, you know, what's this about? It makes them uncomfortable, too, to see a white guy like me and my blue eyes, my pale mm-hmm. complexion, in that scarf. On the Arab side of the debate, they're saying, what's that guy doing with that scarf on? And on this side of the debate, people are saying, whoa, wait a second, has he gone native? And I just want to agitate the debate. In some ways, not in every way, but in some ways, I'd rather be controversial and wrong just to start the debate, to get people discussing the issues, then be safe and right.
Yeah. I also want, while we still have a few minutes here, I want you to tell the story about Gary Busey that you tell in the book, because it is it's amusing.
You know, Al Jazeera English is a real cultural crossroads, not just between Arabs and Americans. I mean, it's run mostly by Brits, actually, but there are people from all over the world who work there. As a matter of fact, most of the reporters actually look like the world they're reporting on. So we hired the best African reporters to report from Africa and so on. But I was doing a test show, a pilot show, with an Al Jazeera Arabic reporter. We were hosting this show that was kind of talking about topics of the week. And a topic came up about a movie called Valley of the Wolves. Very, very popular movie in Turkey. And it's about these Turkish secret agents in Iraq, and they uncover that Americans are capturing Iraqis and a Jewish doctor is harvesting their organs. I mean, it's really a horrible film. And Gary Busey plays the Jewish doctor who's harvesting the organs out of these Iraqi prisoners and selling them on the black market. And so Abdurrahim, who was my co-host, said, do you think it's going to hurt Gary Busey's career being a part of a movie like this, an A-list actor? And I just laughed and said, you know, Gary Busey's far from an A-list actor. You know, he hasn't done anything of cultural relevance since Buddy Holly's story in 1978, and he's made a career out of playing a caricature of himself. I think he's hoping to get negative press out of this, because in America, you know, there is no such thing as bad press. At least he'll be getting some publicity. Well, in America, that comment would probably fly, but according to British Office of Communication rules, that could be slander. So they call cut to the show, and my British director comes running around the corner and says, you can't say that. You're slandering Gary Busey. And, you know, which I responded and said, I'm not slandering him. I'm slandering his career, which should be allowed. And I don't think Abdurrahim got what the discussion was about at all, because he was coming at it from a complete different perspective. So it was just a collision of three extremely different perspectives in one very odd moment.
Yeah, one last call from Mike in Appleton. Almost out of time, Mike.
Okay, good morning. I'll be quick. I came late. I was skeptical at first, and then I started to listen. If you were like us, trapped, who would you listen to? What media channel would you listen to if you had our choices? And who would you read?
Yeah, we have less than a minute, Josh.
Great question. I'll go to the internet. I love NPR. I've been lucky enough to have been on the Wisconsin Public Radio a number of times. I think it's absolutely terrific. I think people in Wisconsin are so lucky to have it. But I would definitely go to the internet and look at some of the international sources out there, both left and right. And, of course, Al Jazeera English is on the internet, so you can definitely see it there. I would also call your cable provider and say, I want an international network, be it BBC World, Al Jazeera English, CNN International, I don't care. But just get some international news on the cable in America. We need it.
And some of your pieces are on your website, joshrushing.com.
That's right. Most of my pieces are on my website, joshrushing.com.
Thanks a lot for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Josh Rushing, author of Mission Al Jazeera. Thanks to Carmen Jackson for producing this hour. Thanks to Leo Duran for on-air production. Thank you for listening and for calling in. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.